There's got to be an explanation to all these UFO sightings, right? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
This is a WTOP original podcast.
Coming up in this episode of Target USA.
I should have said this a long time ago. Paul Whelan is in a very difficult situation right now. He's spent five birthdays there in this prison where he shouldn't be. And he's trying to get home. But also what's happening behind the scenes is he's making these phone calls. He's being allowed to do that. That's the key word. He's being allowed to do that. The Russian government is allowing him to do that. And there's a strong possibility and almost an over-the-top probability that they're doing that to pressure the U.S. government to capitulate to their demand.
Coming up on this episode, from WTOP in Washington, D.C., this is Target USA. America has a target on its back. And on this program, we investigate the threats, the people behind them, the agencies fighting them, and the impact on you. This is Target USA,
the National Security Podcast.
I'm JJ Green.
I want to say something that I should have said months ago. And when I mess up, I own it. That's one of the, I hope, hallmarks of my career. I should have said this a long time ago. I didn't. In my excitement of getting the opportunity to share something from Paul Whelan, I should have pointed out to you, Paul Whelan is in a very difficult situation right now. And this situation is the one of a man who was snatched off a street in Moscow on the 28th of December, 2018, 5 years ago. He's spent five birthdays there in this prison where he shouldn't be. And he's trying to get home. But also what's happening behind the scenes is he's making these phone calls. He's being allowed to do that. That's the key word. He's being allowed to do that. The Russian government is allowing him to do that. And there's a strong possibility and almost an over-the-top probability that they're doing that to pressure the U.S. government to capitulate to their demands. This is something I should have said the first time that Paul reached out and the first time we did a podcast. I didn't do it. That was a mistake. But I'm rectifying this now. I need to make sure that you know. Paul Whelan is saying things here in this podcast that may be absolutely Paul Whelan's words, but there is a strong probability that he's being pressured into doing this to force the U.S. government and everybody here to go along with what their demands are. That's despicable, but that is the case. So on to this week's episode. He talks more about his situation in that prison. And I want you to listen and listen with the knowledge that Paul Whelan may be saying things that weren't necessarily his words. Don't know that for sure, but I can only imagine that there is pressure. Now our conversation. I want to go back to what you were talking about you know, your concern about Navalny and, you know, the fact that if they could get to him, they could get to you. So have you gotten a sense that that may have been something or might, is that something you've noticed some efforting towards that? Or are you just concerned because of it happening to Navalny?
Yeah, it's a general concern. You know, someone like Navalny, who is known throughout the world, he's an activist. He speaks out against his government, and he dies in prison in a secure facility under suspicious circumstances. That should make everyone wonder what's happening here. You know, there are no human rights. Everyone knows that. But for that to happen, it's extremely concerning. And, you know, you look at situations like Litvinenko, where Andrei Lugovoy went to London and used the polonium to kill Litvinenko. You look at the Russian operatives that went to England to kill Saul, who had been traded for Anna Chapman and her spy gang, you know, years ago. You look at these situations, it's not above these people to go out and try to kill people that they don't appreciate. All sorts of journalists have just dropped dead for no specific reason. And it wouldn't be above imagination for these people to either poison me to make me sick or to, you know, give me some sort of illness or to make something occur that then pressures the U.S. to, reach an agreement that they might not normally have reached. Or if it goes wrong, then, you know, that's the end of me. So it is a concern because these people play the game by their own rules and they make up the rules as they go along. And that's one of the problems that we've had. Since day one, they do make up the rules as they go along. They change the goalposts, and they just do what they think is ethical and moral. Unfortunately, their compass is a little bit wacky, and it doesn't correspond to ours.
Yeah, that is indeed true. Are there other things that are going on that are on your mind that you want to engage on today?
My health is doing well. The people around me are fairly healthy. You know, one of the needs we have here is getting private medical care and dental care provided. Trying to get donations for over-the-counter medicines like ibuprofen, different skin creams and ointments, multivitamins, things like that, as well as getting donations for private dental care. There's a private dentist that comes to the prison and sees some of us. But, getting donations for those sorts of things is on my mind because, my friends have issues and they don't necessarily have the same resources I do. And if the people around me are ill, that doesn't help me. And then if the people around me are having problems, that doesn't help me. So, this is kind of a community environment and we try to help each other. And one of the things I'm working on is getting donations, to buy over-the-counter medications to share with people, as well as donations for private dental care. So when people here have dental issues, they can be seen to. The Russian government doesn't provide any dental care for prisoners at all. If they have a dental issue that turns into an emergency, they can go to a hospital and have the tooth pulled out, but that's it. Medical care here is non-existent, really. I mean, they might give you something to treat a symptom, but that's it. They really don't treat people at all. So we rely on, the over-the-counter medications and things that are allowed to come in for us and, to be shared with other prisoners. So that's something that's on my mind because, I see the suffering of these people, and I know that a lot of them can't afford basic things that in our world, we would just consider a human right. And, some of these people have, they're young and they have long sentences for minor drug crimes or crimes that aren't even a crime in our world. And, it's just sad. It's sad to see the way they're treated.
Wow. That's really remarkable, Paul, that you become this empathetic. Well, you've always been that, I'm sure. But I'm saying in your circumstances in this prison, in this situation, you're advocating for others as well as yourself. And that can only, from my perspective, generate good things for you. How do people, if they want to send you something, how do they send it to you? You were talking about donations for dental care. How do people get that to you?
So what people can do, there's a GoFundMe account set up, and they can make monetary donations to the GoFundMe account, and then the money would be channeled here and used for the private dental care or to buy over-the-counter medications. On this side of the Atlantic. So the monetary donations through the GoFundMe account are the best way. Other donations, monetary donations, can be made, directly to my family through my sister or brother, and they would be used in the same manner.
Mm-hmm. So have you been talking to your parents lately, your family lately? What are they saying to you? How are they doing?
I actually call home on a regular basis. Every once in a while, there'll be an issue with communications here, and I might have a blackout of two. But for the most part, I call home on a regular basis. I speak to the ambassadors on a regular basis. I speak to people in D.C. on a regular basis. So I have pretty good communication. And you know, it's nice as my parents are getting older, you know, they're more and more concerned, and they have, you know, the issues that older people do. And it's nice to be able to speak to them.
Well, that's good. I'm glad to hear that. just continuing our conversation, do you get the sense that anything has changed on the Russian side when it comes to your case and what their objectives are? Because I think we talked before, when we talked before you, you talked about what they were doing by essentially taking Americans and using them in this way. Do you get the sense that anything has changed in the way in which they approach people like you and Evan and others?
Well, I think they firmly understand what they're doing. I mean, they're taking citizens as hostages and accusing them of crimes that they want to use, you know, on a pedestal for trading purposes. In the past, they've said things like, you know, Paul is very valuable, and, you know, we're not going to trade him just for a, you know, common criminal or someone who's, you know, smuggled drugs into the country or somebody who was just drunk and disorderly. We want to trade him for somebody important like an assassin or, you know, Russian spies, things like that. So they know what they're doing. When they grabbed me, they asked for Victor Boot and Konstantin Yurchenko and Maria Butina. They asked for those three people. They did it specifically. There's no doubt in my mind, Devin, for the same reason. I think Trevor and Brittany just happened to blunder into the situations that they got involved with, and it worked out quite well on the Russian side. As far as Evan and I being charged as spies, I mean, that's calculated. They've done that so they can say that, you know, we're very, very valuable. You know, we're like James Bond and Austin Powers, and we're people that, you know, our side will want to get back. That does put pressure on, you know, the president and the prime ministers and their administrations to do something, because otherwise they're leaving innocent people, you know, to languish in foreign prisons.
Yeah, that's very good information to have about the situation. Can you describe for me your conditions or the environment that you're in right now? And I think this is a public space that you have to be in to speak on this phone, right?
Yeah, I'm standing in the lobby of the administration building. There are four phones that different people use to make calls in Russia and then you know, externally. You know, the conditions here are not great. You know, the factory, the barracks, I mean, everything's old and run down. Things are, you know, 30, 40, 50 years old, and they look older. You know, the place isn't clean. It's not maintained. Whenever we complain, we're told that the poor conditions are part of the punishment. So, you know, that's the mindset. It's completely different than our corrections facilities. There is no corrections here. There is no rehabilitation. It's a labor camp, and we're here to work. And, you know, it's like an old derelict, you know, factory or any kind of derelict building. You know, you just got broken rubble and glass and, you know, all kinds of garbage everywhere. It's just, you know, the place is not maintained. You know, you see the offices and the administration building are fairly nice, and then you see our barracks, the factory, those areas, and they're hideous. It's unbelievable. But that's the way they do things here, you know. I mean, it's you know, if you remember Eurotrip, and you know, the kids were hitchhiking and they ended up in Bratislava or somewhere like that, and there were these old rundown apartments and, you know, rundown buildings and things. That's exactly what this looks like. You know, if you put, you know, rundown Russian buildings into the internet, this is what'll pop up. I mean, these places are old, they're hideous. This was a World War II, you know, and it really hasn't improved much since then.
Yeah, I can imagine. Only imagine. So I'm going to need to get going because clearly this is my story today. This is what I need to focus on today. And I need to make sure I do a really good job of this and get this out. And I'm going to let the other folks.
Okay, well, let me say a few things before we get cut. Let me say a few things before we get cut off then.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
You know, I think it's imperative that the U.S. government sits down with the Russians. I think it's imperative that the Russians, I'm sorry, let me say that again. I think it's imperative that the U.S. government sits down with the Russians and works out a compromise quickly. You know, this isn't the sort of thing that can languish. You know, we're going into a campaign for the next president, whether it be President Trump or President Biden. But this is an important issue between the Russians and the Americans. This is the sort of thing that resolved, and it needs to be resolved so it doesn't happen again. Evan and I should be the last two people held hostage by the Russians so that they can exact a price from the U.S. government. That said, you know, I've put in multiple requests to speak to President Biden. He does speak to my family, and he has spoken to my parents, but I'd like to speak to him personally and discuss this situation with him. It's at a point that, you know, there needs to be decisive action taken. I mean, it's been 5 years and 3 months and a few days. It doesn't need to be 4 months or 5 months or 6 months more. This needs to be resolved now.
Wow. So you put in, as you said, multiple. Yeah, you said you put in multiple requests to speak to the president. Do you know how many?
More than six. I know. I remember the last six, including one last night.
How did that happen last night?
So when I speak to the State Department, I speak to the State Department, and you know, Ambassador Carson's Ambassador Tracy, you know, I put in requests through them, with Ambassador Sullivan when he was here, requests through him.
Yeah. Has anybody given you an answer or reason as to why that conversation between you and the president hasn't happened?
No, and to be quite honest, I mean, it took 5 years for the president to speak to my parents, and it took many years for the president to speak to my sister, who was in D.C. on a regular basis advocating for me. It was concerning because he had spoken to the families of Trevor Reed and Brittany Griner very, very quickly. And, you know, we were concerned that, you know, the lack of high-level attention meant it wasn't being taken seriously. The president did, you know, reach out and speak to my sister, and then just recently reached out and spoke to my parents. You know, the Secretary of State had always been involved with my family, as well as National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan.
Yeah.
I had always been concerned myself that we weren't getting attention from the Oval Office.
Yeah. And do you believe you've gotten the attention you need from the Oval Office minus the call from the president?
I think we're on the right track. I still think there's more that can be done. You know, I'm always told that there's a light at the end of the tunnel. But so far, that light has always been another train coming at me. So I would like to speak to the president and get reassurances from him that, you know, people are doing whatever they can to get me out, and that it's not just, you know, the which I'm familiar with, people saying one thing and doing another. You know, I get the story that everyone is very concerned and that they continue to work towards my release. But is that going to happen this year or in 5 years or in 10 years? What are they doing? I would like someone to actually tell me at a high level that they've got this under control and they're going to get it done. I was going to add that, you know, I hear statements like, you know, we continue to be concerned with, you know, Paul's situation, and, you know, we at high levels to secure his release. And, you know, when you check those messages, they're very nice, and the platitudes are there, the sentiment is there, but there's no action. I mean, it's kind of like a marshmallow message. In the Marines, we used to call it a second lieutenant answer. It doesn't do anything, and I need people to do something. I mean, I need people to take action. And I think that's probably the biggest message is take action, do something, get it done.
That's the most recent phone call conversation that I had with Paul Whelan. It could be the last. It may not be. I just don't know. It just really depends on what happens. And as I said, it's my strong belief that he's being allowed to do this. It's not as if he's calling because he has a right. I mean, if he had a right, any rights there, he wouldn't be in prison in the first place. But the bottom line on it is, if you didn't listen to it using that knowledge, go back and do that. The knowledge that he may be being manipulated. He may be being forced to say things. Maybe saying things and asking for things that may not be his wish. I do know one thing is likely sure. He probably isn't very happy with either of our last two presidents that he's still there, because there, in his words, in his view, have been opportunities. But for other reasons, they haven't been able to bring him home. That's it for this episode of Target USA. Coming up in our next episode.
We've seen sort of a democratization of the disinformation landscape.
Brett Schaefer is a disinformation expert with the German Marshall Fund US.
So you don't have to be a Russia to run a targeted disinformation campaign. You could be a few people with malign motives, and with the tools that are at people's disposals right now, you could run a pretty wide-scale disinformation campaign targeting a candidate or just the integrity of the election itself.
And guess what? A lot of people, smart people, are saying that's exactly what's happened. Join us for that conversation. That's coming up on the next episode of Target USA. In the meantime, if you have any questions or comments about the program, send me an email. You can reach me at jgreen@wtop.com. The letter J, the color green, one word, at Whiskey Tango Oscar Papa. jgreen@wtop.com. Also, please, subscribe to our podcast and follow us on Twitter. We're at TUSA Podcast. That's at Tango Uniform Sierra Alpha Podcast. And if you want more national security news, you can sign up for my newsletter. It's called Inside the Skiff, and you can sign up at WTOP.com/email. I want to thank you for listening, and I also want to thank Hanno Dixit for our music.
I'm J.J. Green, and this is Target USA,
the National Security Podcast.